Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York.
I'm in love, and I haven't even seen her face.
it's Sunday, and we're here talking about our warm-up routine, which always has to do with videos of some sorts.
I do feel a lot looser now, in more than one way.
And
Bruce has been twerking this morning.
I've been twerking, and it's working. My twerking is working. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's really Roy's show, too. Sportsmancave.com's CEO.
Jeez. Yeah. That's me.
You know, you got how many cities you got now? 35 or something?
Well, we actually...
8? 12?
We do have a lot of cities, but we actually downgraded to 3 cities now. We're going to focus in on 3 cities.
Baltimore's one.
But don't tell my writers.
No,
that
but Baltimore's one.
Not telling my writers.
Isn't Baltimore one?
Yeah, Baltimore,
and
Washington,
is Morgantown the other one?
Yep.
Oh, my God. You're going to put Morgantown on the map? It's not like Dana Holgorsen hasn't already put him on the map this week in his drunken tirade. And I'm only saying that because it's probably not true. I don't know if he was drunk or not, but I can imagine that Dana, when he throws a bender together, he might blow over a .10 for 3 days. I'm just guessing.
Well...
No comment from Roy. Hey, listen.
This is the guy who look. I love WVU. I'm actually.
He just should have shut up.
I'm wearing
I'm
wearing my West Effing Virginia shirt today.
Just, yeah,
just
good...
to prove a point to Bruce that I'm with my.
That
alma mater
some
on this
people
one.
That went to West Virginia have more than 3 teeth. And it's
true.
Good to see you have a mouthful of teeth.
I'm
totally surprised.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But he was. He was brought in to be the interim head coach, and we had Bill Stewart at the time. And Bill Stewart knew that he was coming in to be the next head coach. So Bill Stewart tried to, like, sabotage him getting the next position, which...
Talking about Dana.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I like Dana, by the way.
Bill Stewart kind of leaked out to the presses about Dana Holgorsen being really drunk one night at a casino and not wanting to leave at like 3 a.m.
Not Dana.
So then that whole thing came out, and then that was actually before Dana's first season as head coach. So Bill Stewart, instead of him being the interim head coach with Bill Stewart still there, he took over full. And then actually Bill Stewart, he passed away like that offseason. Had a heart attack on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He had a lot of stress on him. But here's the deal. Dana, that wasn't the only instance that Dana's
no,
had.
No, the guy, he's notorious for chugging Red Bulls. But look, that's my head coach,
yeah, but what Red Bulls do is they keep a drunk on his feet, which is the last thing you want.
But I agree with him. I do agree with him. But I know you don't, but that's okay.
No, I mean, Red Bulls are not good for you. I mean, that's a little too much caffeine too fast. And if you'll I've gone down to the 16-fluid-ounce Red Bull for you now.
That's why I brought this extra
and,
8.
Yeah.
Bully Bling.
Roy comes in and goes, I got another sponsor. I go, how much are they giving you? He goes, well, they're not giving me anything. They're just giving me energy drinks.
Free energy drinks.
Well, I said, well, that'll save you $10,000 a year.
Bully Bling energy drink. Make sure you guys check it out. BullyBlingEnergy.com.
What's it got in it, man? Cocaine?
The good stuff.
It's like what you need is a 1928 Coca-Cola.
It tastes really good.
There was
good
enough
too,
cocaine
man.
In one of those to like keep you awake all night. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm just guessing at all this
it
stuff.
It kind of tastes like grape.
Mouyou.
Like a grape Fanta.
Mouyou.
Like a grape Fanta. What's a Mouyou?
I'm just kidding.
Other than the university.
I'm just talking. I'm just going. I just had a great shot of coffee. You do Red Bull. I do this great coffee. And by the way, because of Matt, I'm not putting any cream in my coffee ever again because it makes it so I can't talk.
That's why
my throat locks up and I sound like I'm gurgling.
And it's not Red Bull. It's Bully Bling.
I can't even. I have no idea what that means. Hey, let's talk about. Let's not talk about this girl. Look, I sent out a tweet.
Let's not talk about this girl, but bring her up.
What's her name? Anastasia?
Yeah, Anastasia Ashley.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, guys. She's a female surfer. She's probably 19, 20 years old. She might be older. But By looking at her rear end, she could be anywhere from 14 to 35. I don't know. But it is a beautiful, beautiful rear end. And I'm hoping that she's... can you find out how old she is so I can either stop talking about her or start...
She's a professional
That's
surfer.
Probably something we should have found out earlier.
No, I don't care. That would be... No, there's no way. This is fun. Give us a call and let us know if you've gone to this YouTube video. I mean... It's unbelievable, to be honest with you. I mean, normally you have to pay for entertainment like that. On YouTube, it's free.
If you want to see the video, it's up at sportsmancave.com. So you can check it out there.
That's a good place to go.
It is a great place to have it.
I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy G. We got Matt looking at us, making sure we don't say any cuss words and making sure that we don't blow air hankies across his studio. An air hanky, for those of you who don't know, is, you know, when you got your nose is stopped up, you just push on one nostril and just let that all that energy, you know, throw about a 25-foot loogie right through the air.
She's 26.
They call them snot rockets in San Francisco. Madison Bumgarner is if you watch Madison Bumgarner, who, by the way, right now is ranked the second-best left-hander in baseball. If you watch Madison Bumgarner pitch, he's good for two every pitch. Two air hankies. One, you know, after he's pitched. One right when he gets on the mound getting ready to throw again. He obviously has... He's like me. He's got allergies, but he doesn't go to an allergist. He probably doesn't like shots. So anyway, you know, we're going to talk about baseball. It was a great week because we got to see pretty much everybody play football this week. I mean, starting last week with the Canton, Ohio, you know, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame game, which was terrible. But there were some good games this week. We did find something out about the Philadelphia Eagles this week. They can't tackle at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's happening. A lot of good players in the first 2 weeks of camp have gotten injured. Like, not barely injured. I mean, they're out for the season. There are several good NFL players right now that will not be playing this year. And I think there was a little bit of an overreaction during practices this past week, and it might not be an overreaction, but they're not doing a lot of hitting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're in shorts and pads, and they're not tackling. They're pretending to tackle. They're just hitting from the waist up and wrapping them up. And I understand that once the season starts, but if you've got a bunch of people who haven't hit in 7 months, don't you think you better have some live contact? I think you should, because if you don't, when you start getting that live contact, you're not going to be used to it, and you're going to get injured. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and I keep saying this because I'm getting older, in the 60s and 70s and even 80s, mm-hmm. there were certain coaches that would do Oklahoma drills twice a week. I mean, everybody's in full pads, one-on-one.
Well, we ran Oklahoma – I mean, that's how
you learn how to tackle.
We ran Oklahoma drills
practice. That's how you learn how to stave off blocks, and that's mm-hmm. how you learn how to tackle. And I'm telling you got to do it, especially with younger kids.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of these
– every practice we ran Oklahoma, and we ran Bull in a Ring.
You know what? We're going to do a whole segment on the NFL, maybe two, in the second hour. So if you want to know what we think about the NFL and what's going on, we're going to do that second hour. We got a couple of callers. Cleveland Browns won a daggone game. They got a new owner. They got a new coach. They got a new offensive coordinator named Norv Turner, who we like to pick on. But Norv is a good quarterback coach. You know, some guy told me, I'm trying to think who it was. It was a post writer. Said, oh, yeah, well, Norv likes... liked Heath Shuler. Yeah, but that was a general manager pick. That had nothing to do with coaching him.
Yeah, but at the
same
time,
he never really got to coach him, and because he wasn't that good.
Well, Heath Shuler was also that was kind of the unanimous first overall pick.
Yeah,
like everybody,
but
he was a big
but he
deal.
Sucked.
Well, he did suck, but
he was so good? Do you know why he was so good in college? You know who his coach was? David Cutcliffe. And David Cutcliffe.
Manning Brothers, right?
Yes. I mean, he makes everybody look pretty damn good. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm with Roy G. Roy Edwards. We'll be back in a little while, probably
break.
A minute or
just
two.
A little break.
Yeah, we're
Stick
just
going
to take a quick break. Stick around. You're listening to News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, WFAS. Talking a little bit, we talked some NFL. We're going to get into that in the last two segments. And we talked about our warm-up video, our new warm-up video for the show.
It's such a good warm-up. I feel so different.
It's Red Bull. No, it's Bully Bling in a video. So you can check that out at sportsmancave.com and go with that. But we also watched another video, which I know we're past the first segment. That's kind of our warm-up segment. But that's okay. We also watched a video that you showed me, Bruce, which was the...
Joe Biden.
Buy a shotgun. So that's pretty funny, too.
Just go click on YouTube Joe Biden, and you can pretty much... you can just entertain yourself for pretty much the entire day, because the guy is an absolute moron.
Very funny.
But he is funny, and he's a pretty good-looking guy. If those are really his teeth, I'm just amazed. Because he's got to be 70. Is he 68, 70, something like that? And he looks like he's got 500 teeth. He looks like those... pictures of the sharks in Shark Week that are smiling with the fake teeth. Mm-hmm. I love those.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk Major League Baseball and get on this, because everybody in the world wants to know who we pick every week. And so we're going to tell you. I don't even want to talk. We're going to go over the standings now real quick, if you don't mind. We're going to start with the American League. The Boston Red Sox have put a little bit of room between them and Tampa Bay and Baltimore now. They are three games out in front of Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay was red hot for about 3 weeks, and they've lost four in a row now. And Boston is 71-48. They're right at the 600. They're like .597 winning percentage. They're going to the playoffs. They have good pitching. They can score runs. They play well against. On the road. I would say Tampa Bay, if anybody's going to fold up like a cheap suit, it's Tampa Bay. And I can tell you why. They don't score enough. You got to be able to score runs in August and September, or you're not going to make the playoffs. The Baltimore Orioles are 5.5 games back, but I'm telling you, they are the most potent offense in baseball. And that's hard to believe, because it wasn't that long ago, Roy. You remember, they couldn't score 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Well, there's a guy named Chris Davis who plays for them
who's
pretty good with a bat.
And he does not do steroids. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. I believe him, because why would he come out and say he doesn't? Now, here's the problem with steroids right now. Mm-hmm. That new form, that fast acting and fast getting out of your system, HGH, that they make now, it's out of your system in 12 hours. So, and generally you get, I just found this out today reading an article, you almost always get tested before a game. So after a game, that's when they put it in their mouth. And supposedly that HGH pill is the size, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. It's the size of a rice kernel. Yeah, that's pretty small. So, you know, but that's enough testosterone and HGH. It's evidently a combo shot that they can take it, and it's out of their system. But it does all the good it can do, but the majority of it's out of your system in less than 24 hours.
I had a buddy who took HGH in high school.
Because he wasn't growing.
Yeah, he was small. He was like 5'1 going into high school. And now he's like 6'3.
Yeah, now he looks like he's 40. Isn't he the black guy that they just signed in Miami? What's his name? That guy's name? The really good player?
Talking about Greg Oden?
Yeah. Well, wasn't that Greg Oden who went to Falls Church High School? I'm Bruce Hall, and Greg Oden didn't go to Falls Church.
But I took steroids. But it wasn't.
Yeah, well,
not shoot you in the butt steroids.
No, but everybody's taking steroids.
I took prednisone. I took it for like 5 years.
Well, you know what? That stuff makes you swell up, though.
Yeah, you swell up, and I gain a lot of weight.
I had a friend, Phil Curley, who died when he was 11 years old. That I went was a little league buddy of mine, and he had leukemia, and he had to take steroids, and he just got so big. And you know, nowadays he probably would have lived with all the. You know, medical advances they've made in the past few years. And by the way, if you got a friend with cancer, say a prayer for them, because we constantly do here. You know, whatever you can do to make their life better, do it. But anyway, let's get back to the American League East. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, they're in it. The New York Yankees.
You think Baltimore's going?
Yes. I still do. I like Baltimore in the American League. I think them and Detroit play in the final. They're going to be in the American League Championship.
You think Baltimore's the other wild card with Tampa, or do you think Tampa doesn't go?
No, I think Baltimore wins the East. I've said it all year. I think Boston's going to be the wild card, and Tampa I don't think is going to make it.
So you think Oakland
I think it's definitely going to be Oakland. Okay. Oakland is good. And Texas, you know, both of them are going to win 90-some-odd games.
The O's making a run for it. I mean, they're only 5.5 back, so.
You know what? Plus, they're getting some pitching back, too. Steven Johnson's off the DL. There's a bunch of guys coming off the DL. And if you remember last year, in September, that's when they made their move.
If you switched Toronto with Boston right now, that was how I thought the East was going to.
Yeah, and you know what? New York has hung in there as bad as they look, and as much as they look like a over 40 softball team. They're a men's softball team, but they're 58-57. They're 11 games back, and they're not going to do anything. And yes, they should trade Robinson Cano and get like the just a million great prospects for him and start over. Because if they do that...
I mean, they didn't even start over. But
if they do, that's the only guy they can trade that's going to give him anybody. Think about it. They don't have anybody else. Who are they going to trade?
I don't know.
Nobody wants their catchers. They're all HGH guys except for Stewart, who's, you know, can't hit. He's a triple-A catcher. And I can say that, Stu, because I knew you in San Francisco. But, you know, it's a great year for Stewart because he's showing everybody how good of a defensive catcher he is. But anyway, Toronto sucks. New York sucks. And I don't mean that in a bad way, Yankee fans, but this is an off year for you. The Detroit Tigers are 69-46. Remember way back when they were skirting around 500 early in the season? And I just, Detroit at one time, I swear to God, was 14th or 15th in USA Today's rankings. I just laughed and sent the guy the nastiest email going, they'll be in the World Series again. Well, Detroit is going to go back to the series probably. They're going to probably play Baltimore in the championship series. Cleveland is making a run for it, but they're losing ground fast.
Yeah.
Kansas City, on the other hand, is going the opposite direction. Are they going to have enough left to be a wild card? I don't think so.
I don't see
not
that.
Not with Oakland, not with Tampa Bay, not with Baltimore, and not with Boston. Texas Rangers, Minnesota, Chicago. By the way, Chicago has a new general manager, and they have isn't Robin Ventura still? Yeah, he's still their manager.
Chicago sucks, man.
They're terrible.
They're awful.
Adam Dunn is their best player. He's hitting .220.
Adam Dunn's hitting above 200?
Yeah, he's been above 200 for about 2 weeks.
Good for you, Adam.
Can I tell you what? I'm surprised that somebody didn't jump on Adam Dunn. Somebody should have jumped on him just to hit the bombs.
But it would have had to
been an American League team.
Yeah,
it would have had to been Cleveland.
He's terrible with the glove. I'm still convinced he doesn't know which hand to put the glove on.
He's awful. Yeah, he's not very good. Oakland is Oakland, and they're going to be there when it's all said and done. Seattle, L.A., and Houston, goodbye. And I'm pulling for Houston because Justin Maxwell has come back from an injury, and he is kicking butt.
Justin Maxwell,
we should have never traded him. He was that good. He could have hung around like Lombardozzi. I'm talking about the Nationals here. He could have hung around like the second baseman who can't hit water if he fell out of a boat, Espinoza, right? He could have hung around like the Shark. You know, Bernardina. Mm-hmm. He could have hung around like that, and he would have eventually been the starting center fielder for the Washington Nationals. All he has to do is hit .250, .260, as good as he is defensively, as great an arm as he's got, and he hits bombs. Mm-hmm. I love the guy.
He's with the Royals now, though.
Yeah, I know. And the Royals are playing. Oh, he died and went to heaven because Houston traded him.
Yeah.
Hey, what a great move that was by Kansas City. Somebody in the Kansas City organization. Their GM is from Northern Virginia. I don't know if you knew that or not. And he used to coach at George Mason University, so he knows about Justin Maxwell just from his season tickets with the Nats. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Texas, Oakland, one of them is going to win it. Seattle, L.A., and Houston, they're done. The only good thing about Los Angeles is Mike Trout. I love Mike Trout. We could have had Mike Trout, but we would. Who would we have? Oh, we took Drew Storen instead. Great. He's in AAA right now.
He'll come back around.
Yeah, eventually. He just, you know, it's a mental thing. And I'll be, a lot of people aren't saying this, but I'm going to say it. They're dropping the ball. Last night, it was a 3-1 count, one out, a runner on, no, nobody out. Runner on first base was Denard Span, and Ryan Zimmerman was up. I automatically start runners in that situation, especially with a guy hitting like Zimmerman is. Zimmerman's starting to hit the ball, by the way. And guess what? They don't start the runner. You know where Zim hit it? A shot up the middle, one hop, second baseman caught it, started a double play. If the runner goes, the second baseman is covering second base, the ball goes into right field, we have runners on the corners, nobody out.
Yeah.
The Nationals did come back and win that game. by a score of 8-5 because they just started hitting the crap out of the ball. Hey, and by the way, I was there, so what do I get? Free wings at some place. I don't know.
Some.
Yeah, and they're not a sponsor, so I'm not going to tell anybody who it is. Anyway, the National League standings, Roy, Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Upton brothers are hitting a combined 205. How are they 71-46? I'll tell you why. They got three or four other guys that are just not going to cover off
the
ball.
They did lose to the Marlins, though, last night.
Well, you know, the Marlins beat a lot of good players. They've got two really good starting pitchers. One that's phenomenal, the kid that was in the All-Star game. But you know, Chris Johnson, the third baseman for Atlanta, I got to see him play this week because they were in town. He's hitting .337. He's leading the league in hitting. He's not the only one. Freddie Freeman, their first baseman, he's hitting like .310.
Yeah.
And he made the All-Star team. Both of them made the All-Star team. I mean, these guys can play. All the money they spent in the offseason was on who? Justin and BJ Upton. Yeah. How much are those guys making a year? $30 million a year. Thank you. Between the two of them.
I mean, the Braves already had a good team going into this year, though.
Yeah, they've got good pitching.
The Upton brothers was thought to be the kind of the icing on the cake, what was going to get these teams.
And eventually they'll be okay. Eventually,
yeah, they'll
be
fine. I mean, it was a good defensive move.
On fire right now again.
Yeah, I mean, and BJ's not a bad defensive.
No, he's just got a long swing, and he looks like he doesn't care.
He looks like Gumby up there.
You know what he got? You know what he got done the other day? He's on second base with one out. Or nobody out. Mm. Ground ball in the hole. He takes off. Shortstop gets it. Desmond, ball's waiting for him at third base. He's out.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't do that in high school. You make the ball go through.
He hasn't been a very good offensive player for a couple of
years. Great defensive center fielder, though.
Very good.
When he's paying attention.
Yeah.
When he's taking his medication.
But, I mean, the big difference.
I don't even know if he's allowed to take his medication. I guess he can if he's got a prescription for it.
I'm sure he is. The big difference between the Atlanta Braves and the rest of that division is they're the only team above .500 on the road.
Well,
everybody else can't win on the road.
They're 14 and a half games out in front. I'm sorry, Washington. As much as I picked you last week, don't think you're going to make it this year. The New
14 and a half back.
Hey, look who's within 10 games now under .500.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Mets, they're 53-61. Marlon Byrd, what a great pickup that was. Philadelphia, I saw them last night. They suck.
Yeah,
they've lost 8 out of their last 10. They're horrible.
Yeah.
They're just horrible. Miami, you know, he should be sued for fraud, you know, the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a franchise going nowhere. Although they got some good young players. Hopefully their minor league system's good. Pittsburgh is the story. Roy, they're 4.5 games in front of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has won 70 games. Boston, 71. Atlanta, 71.
Pittsburgh only needs 11 wins. 12 wins, sorry. They need 12 wins, and it'll be their first winning season in 20 years.
And you know what? They're going to get it. And they're going to probably get it in the next 2 weeks. St. Louis is always going to be hanging in there. They've lost 4 in a row, but they'll come back. They got some injuries. Yadi Molina's hurt. I mean, when Yadi Molina's hurt, you're in trouble because he's their best player. Best defensive player and best offensive player. Cincinnati Reds will hang around. They're going to be fighting for that wild card spot, that last wild card spot. And it's going to probably be – and it's going to be three teams from the Central. The Cubs suck. Milwaukee sucks. Although Milwaukee's starting to play a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something about – I want to give a shout-out to John Nairn, the hitting coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. Johnny, you're doing it because it seems like three times a week they score over 10 runs. They just have no pitching. That's their problem. They can't really pitch. Their pitching is near the last in all of baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers. Definitely last in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
But they can hit. They're 20 and a half games back at Pittsburgh. That tells you how good Pittsburgh is. The Los Angeles Dodgers, God help them and Vin Scully. Vin, I know you're happy. You know, the only good thing about this is it gives Vin Scully a winner to actually do the color and the play-by-play for because, you know, he works alone. You know, Vin doesn't have anybody else in the booth, and he probably makes 10 times as much as anybody else out there. Vin's pushing 90, and he's still one of the best. Arizona Diamondbacks are only 3 games above .500. They're still in a fight for a wild card, and they have a legitimate fight. They just got to catch Cincinnati. Colorado Rockies, no pitching. They're hitting the ball. And my San Francisco Giants are going to make the comeback of the century. The comeback of the century.
No bias
here. Hey, guess who's coming to town this week? My buddy Boach. He called in last week, but I didn't even know he was going to call in. He calls in and surprised us last week. But they're here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So, we're going down the MLB here, trying to look at the standings, trying to see who it's going to be in the wild card race. And Bruce, you're under the impression that the San Francisco Giants are going to somehow
make a great comeback. Well, here's the
deal. Comeback of the ages.
No, they're going to win. Look, they're 14 games back. They're going to win the West. Look, L.A. has already got Hanley Ramirez hurt again. They'll go into one of these slumps. If something happens to one of their starting pitchers, they could start losing 6, 7, 8 out of 10 games. I know it's a long shot.
A little bit.
14 games back, but I really think that San Francisco has a shot. Here's how you'll know, okay? What's today? The 11th?
Yeah.
Today's the 11th of August. If on September 1st, the Giants are within, are you ready? Seven games, September 1st, they're going to pull it off. If they're not, if they're 11-12, it's over. Okay, is that fair enough for all my Giant fans out there? If they're within seven games, September 1st, the Giants will make the comeback. And, you know, I've already said 82 wins wins the West. Well, all L.A. needs to win is 16 more games. Guess what? I just don't think they can do it. I think it's too much pressure for those guys. Did you see the hidden ball trick on Juan Uribe?
Yeah.
He's a moron, okay? Should have signed in San Francisco for $7 million. He'd still be there. But then Brandon Crawford wouldn't have a job, but Brandon would probably be at second base. And by the way, I love Marco Scudero, but he doesn't drive in runs or score runs. They don't have another second baseman in their system, in my opinion, that's going to be that good anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So the Giants are going to be in the market for a second baseman in the offseason.
I mean, if there's a division to do it in, it's the NL West.
Absolutely.
I mean, that division
And you know what? It was a strong division last year. I mean, it was a real strong division last year, and it was a strong division 3 years ago when they won it.
The West in general is just...
The East are the best teams, pretty much, usually. Now, the Central are the best teams right now.
Right.
Yeah, well, if you look at Detroit, they're 13 games up, plus 7, that's 26, 18. No, the Central in the American League, because Chicago's in it, they're like minus 15.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Central in the National League, plus 25, plus 16, that's 41, plus 12 is 53, minus 8 is 65 minus 16, or 55 minus 16, 39 games above 500 is the National League Central. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they should all be there. They should all be there. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy here. Roy, let's go over our picks, Roy. Have another shot of... Go ahead. Use the one you're getting paid
Bully
for.
Bling.
Yeah, because Red Bull ain't giving us no money. All right, you ready? Detroit and New York.
Now.
Two steroid users, Justin Verlander and Andy Pettit. Oh, that's right. Verlander is allegedly using steroids.
Allegedly.
And by the way, there's been a lot of people that have said that he's done it. I'm just saying.
Allegedly.
Allegedly done it. And I don't think he has. But you know what? Think about it. He had an ERA of what, like 1.84 last year, and he was throwing 101 miles an hour. Now, all of a sudden, he's throwing 93, 94.
I'm looking at the scores here trying to figure out where I'm like, why doesn't it show Verlander pitching today?
I got it right here.
But I was looking at yesterday's scores. I'm like, these games already ended.
Anyway, Verlander, you got your eyes on that butt tackle chick. By the way, I'm gonna get on my knees and run with a football and let her butt tackle me while she's warming up.
Yeah.
Verlander and Pettit, you know what? I'm going to pass on this game, and I'll tell you why. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a high-scoring game, and you know I don't think New York will win, but I don't think Detroit will either. Seems like everybody that comes to New York does pretty good in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. At home, though, the Yankees are 30-26. I'm going to pass on the game. How about you?
I'll take the Yanks.
You're a maniac.
I'll do it.
The Los Angeles Angels are at Cleveland. Masterson is definitely the better pitcher by far. He's pitched extremely well at times this year. I'm taking Cleveland. I got to, because Cleveland needs to win.
Uh,
You're not going to take the Angels.
I mean, I can't.
It's in Ohio.
You can't take the Angels.
No, you can't. All right. Oakland is at Toronto. Our buddy R.A. Dickey is pitching against Griffin from Oakland.
Very good pitching match.
You know what? It is, and I'm going to pass on the game. It's too close to call.
Probably the wise thing to do.
Yeah, Boston at Kansas City. Lackey, who is making a comeback from being maybe one of the worst pitchers in the league, against Shields, who's a stud. I'm taking Kansas City here. They need the win.
Kansas City's hot, so you go with the hot bats.
Yeah, you got Minnesota at – who cares? I'm just going to pass on the game. It's like two AAA teams, the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. I'm going to pass because there's got to be something better to do today.
I'll go Twins.
Texas is at Houston. Kuchel, who I think is the son of a guy that used to pitch for the Cubs, against Perez, a left-hander who's pitched pretty well for Texas. I'm going to pass.
Texas
needs to win, but I'm going to pass on a game.
Houston's terrible.
As you can see, I'm not like Roy. I don't play every game because I don't want to do that much in juice. San Diego at Cincinnati. Mike Leake against Kennedy. They're two really good pitchers here. I'm taking Cincinnati because they need to win.
Yep.
San Diego's season's over. And by the way, I just have some advice.
San Diego did win yesterday, though.
Yeah, if I have some advice for San Diego, if you want to win, get rid of the damn head coach. He's a pitcher, okay? He doesn't know anything about baseball. you got Miami at Atlanta. You got Minor on the mound. Minus 230. God, that's a big number. I'm taking him anyway. I'm going to take Atlanta. I saw Minor pitch in D.C. He looked really good.
Atlanta lost last night. They're not going to lose two in a row.
No, they're not. And here's another one they're not going to lose.
Or maybe they will after ripping off 14 in a row or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, you got Kelly for St. Louis against Edwin Jackson. I'm taking Kelly. He's only minus 168, too. Got to take him.
Edwin Jackson just got his ERA under 5, so.
Yeah, he's on a roll. New York Mets, you got Nice against Arizona Sproul. I'm going to pass on the game. Although the better pitcher is definitely Nice, the left-hander for the Mets, but I'm passing because when David Wright's out of the lineup, things are going to get worse.
I'll go Mets just for the
just because just you want to lose money. Yeah. Pittsburgh, you got Locke at Bettis. I'm going to pass. I don't like the game.
I'll go Locke.
All right, you're taking Pittsburgh on the road. Yep. Yeah, he is 9-3 this year.
Yeah.
The team is when he plays. Philadelphia is at Strauss. I'm going to take Strauss. They looked so good last night hitting the ball. They looked relaxed. They had a lot of fun after the game. Yeah. They looked loose. Philadelphia, excuse me, they suck. Okay? They're just not a good team right now.
Philadelphia sucks, and the Nationals play a different type of baseball whenever the Phillies are in town. It's a different feeling. This is the closest thing the Nationals have
had to a
rivalry.
You know what was really wild is last night when the game started, there was hardly anybody there. Do you know that they filled that stadium up pretty much?
It
was a real late walk up there. Interleague games. This is a great game here. You got Norris, who the Baltimore picked up from Houston, against Matt Cain. Matt Cain's on a roll. He's taken his ERA from 6 to 4.47 in the last month. I'm taking Matt Cain here.
I'm taking the Orioles.
No use.
Because your Giants suck.
Yeah, but Norris isn't that good.
Yeah, but the Giants
the
are
Giants
terrible.
Do not suck. They just beat the Orioles last night.
52-64.
Well, you'll see. Yeah, well, they've only won two World Series the last 3 years.
The Orioles
Hey, how many of the Orioles won lately? Thank you.
The Orioles are 64-52.
The Orioles haven't won a World Series since 1983. I was there when they did it. Against Philadelphia, Pete
Living
Rose, Mike Schmidt. A bunch of Hall of Famers and guys that should be Hall of Famers. Milwaukee's at Seattle. I took Hernandez already.
Yeah, Seattle.
Yep. Tampa Bay is at the Dodgers. If you don't take Kershaw here, you're on drugs. You need a drug test. I took the Dodgers because what have they won 14 in a row? Did they win last night? No, they did win last night.
Yep.
They've won 16 out of their last 17.
You need the Dodgers to start losing.
I know, but they're going to win today. I'm not going to play against them when Kershaw's pitching at home against Tampa Bay, who can't score runs.
Yep.
Although, you know, I will be rooting for Tampa Bay.
You will be rooting for
so Tampa that's
Bay.
It. That's who we like. Let's just go over them one more time. You took the Yankees. I passed. I took Cleveland. So did you.
Yeah.
We didn't take Oakland or Toronto. We both took Kansas City. We didn't take Minnesota or Chicago White Sox because they're both AAA teams. Texas and Houston, we both took. You took Texas. I passed.
Yeah.
I didn't take Cincinnati or San Diego, neither did you. No, we took Cincinnati. Mike Leake. I took Atlanta, so did you. I took St. Louis against Edwin Jackson. So did you.
Anyone.
You took the Mets because you're a homer. I didn't take anybody. You took Pittsburgh because you're smart. I didn't take anybody. We both took Strasburg because he'll give up two or three runs and they should win the game. Yep. I took San Francisco. You took the Orioles because you're stupid. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee at Seattle. Seattle. We both took Hernandez because he's a stud. 2.39 ERA this year. That's unbelievable.
Talking about my boy King Felix.
Yeah. And then we both took Kershaw against Tampa Bay. So that's where we're at. Let's do this, Roy, real quick. You know what I like about NFL.com? When you go to NFL.com after any week, they will literally play you highlights of each game. And that's where I want to be right now. I want to be on NFL.com. So go to that, Roy, and let's talk a little bit about these
preseason.
These preseason games. The Baltimore Ravens, who you don't like this year, but I did. I have them in the AFC Championship game this year. They won 44-16 over Tampa Bay. That tells us two things.
Nothing.
Tampa Bay isn't getting much better because this guy is he's like an Army, you know, staff sergeant. I mean, this guy is like your worst nightmare from a standpoint of discipline. Is that well, you know, losing by 28 points, somebody's going to have to pay for that. But Baltimore, they look great. They mute sound on.
Just keep talking. Don't worry about
it. You have terrible handwriting, by the way.
I can't read your handwriting. What does that say? I thought you were giving us the name of another surfer.
No, I was just telling you to mute the sound on your computers.
That's I don't all. Even know how to do that.
If you're going to NFL.com, NFL.com.
My sound is already muted.
Oh, I see. Mute the sound so it doesn't, like, talk to me, you mean?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right, well, you know I already have, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Thanks, Matt.
But anyway, Baltimore looked real good. Hey, let me tell you, their defense was flying around the ball. Tampa Bay didn't look like they had much defense. I mean, 44 points in a preseason game? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but
did Baltimore have that good of a draft? Yeah, they did. They did because if you remember, they got a bunch of guys in the draft. Now, they let a lot of guys go. They let Ed Reed go, right? Yeah. They let the linebacker that was so good go, right?
Yeah.
He's in Miami now, right? Yeah. Who else did they let go? Oh, they let Anquan Boldin go.
Yeah.
So, but you know what?
Ray Lewis retired.
It looks like they're
going to
be
They had a guy go to Cleveland.
Hey, yeah, but it looks like they're going to be okay. Cincinnati
preseason,
beat the crap out of Atlanta. Now, Atlanta really wasn't planning on doing too much. I think Matt Ryan only was in there one series.
Yeah.
But Cincinnati, they just looked like their defense was ready to play opening day.
I like Cincinnati.
You know what? They're going to win 11 games. I think they're going to win that division, and I think Baltimore is going to be the wild card. Hey, Roy, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and I am a realtor. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Jim Thiebaud.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here. News Talk 1230 WFAS, hey, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Hey, real quick, you know, we're going over the NFL preseason games this week. Let me just tell you what the Bengals did to the Falcons defense. Now, the Falcons defense has been under a lot of scrutiny for a while because they seem to be the ones that kind of give up the late score in the playoffs all the time. And, you know, this is a trend now because it's the third year that they're supposed to either win their division or be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the Bengals' backup quarterback was 9-for-16 for 100 yards and one touchdown. Listen to these rushing numbers. Jay Johnson, I don't even know who that is. It's probably it's not Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, obviously. It's some guy
Josh
named
Johnson.
Is that Josh Johnson?
Josh Johnson.
Well, that was the quarterback. He ran four times for 64 yards. I mean, that's incredible. A guy named Burkhead rushed nine times for 52 yards. Tate Ben Tate, who came over from the Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had two receptions for 36 yards and a touchdown. A guy named Sanzenbacher, two receptions, 59 yards, one touchdown. Matty Ryan looks like he was only in there for a couple.
That's Brandon Tate.
Brandon Tate. Mm-hmm. That's not the same one then. Ben Tate's still with Houston. Matt Ryan, 6 for 9, 89 yards. Snelling is the only guy that's probably going to basically make the team. He was five carries, 23 yards. But I watched a lot of that game, and it's going to be on replay. Jeez, if you have NFL – If you have the NFL,
the Atlanta Falcons have so many running backs.
I mean, they're unreal. If you just
Steven
look,
Jackson,
but the box score. If you look at the box score for everything, I mean, they dominated them. I mean, it wasn't even that. Dominique Davis, for the Falcons, the backup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's from East Carolina. He's 8 for 19, 78 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. John Skelton from Arizona, 4 for 5, 72 yards. Andy Dalton. Skelton he's the kid from the college up in New York, near where the station is. Remember, we give away tickets for him.
Who did he play for last year?
He played for the Arizona Cardinals. He started the year out as their starter, and then he didn't do too well. Well, obviously the Cardinals made other plans. They've got the guy from the Oakland Raiders there now, who's awful good. Who used to be a Bengal, by the way.
Yeah, it's Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer had a great day. He looked good for Arizona, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's go to the next game while we're at it. The next game is St. Louis-Cleveland, and we're going to have Tony Mazur on in about 20 minutes. And Tony's going to talk about the Browns, but the Rams, who we both like. We both like the Rams. We both like that division. I picked the Rams to be in the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah, we both did that.
So, you're
following my trend there.
They're just... Nah,
and you know who's there now? My boys.
Who? Oh, yeah, your West Virginia
Stedman
guys
Bailey
that have more than three teeth. They do have. I've seen them. They have more than three teeth. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I am not prejudiced against West Virginia University.
He co-eds, went to ECU,
but you know what? I don't care if the co-eds have teeth or not. It doesn't matter. As long as they're pretty. They got pretty hair.
You got little man syndrome.
You know, Tim Ford would say, one of my best friends, they got pretty hair. So anyway... Kellen Clemens, 6 for 13. Let's look at everything. Let's look at the box score for this game, which is everybody. You got Kellen Clemens, Sam Bradford, 5 for 8, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. You know what? He looks like he did fine. You got Darnell Richardson, right? 4 for 24.
Yep.
You got a guy named Stacy. The rushing numbers weren't there. The passing numbers for St. Louis were good. Givens, 3 receptions, 82 yards. Radway, who's a rookie, 78 yards. I've never heard of a guy named Veltung. Never will again. Stedman Bailey, two receptions, 27
yards.
Be Quick, D. Richardson. Looks like your boy didn't play. He didn't dress out.
Tavon Austin.
You know why? Why do you think? Do you think he's injured and they just don't want to tell anybody?
Definitely not
injured. All right, here we go. Norv Turner's favorite guy now, Brandon Weeden, 10 for 13, 112 yards.
I'll tell you
that.
What, real quick on the St. Louis Rams. Sam Bradford could be a very, very good late-round sleeper quarterback in fantasy this year. With Stedman Bailey...
I agree.
Everyone slept on the Stead Bailey pick. Stead Bailey had more receiving yards and touchdowns than Tavon Austin did at WVU. I mean, the kid's stats through college were unreal.
And what we're going to find out here sooner or later is that they may have had just as much to do with Geno Smith being that outstanding quarterback.
Absolutely.
And we're going to find that out
Those
when we see what Geno can do in New York. Because he doesn't have the weapons in New York that he had at West Virginia.
I mean, he had two NFL-caliber starting receivers.
And they're both going to start.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know what? It's going to be all about how they use them. And here's the neat thing about St. Louis. They're not in a hurry to win it all. They're going to build a team for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And they're going to be phenomenal.
Well, they have some serious weapons.
Because Seattle's tough already. San Francisco's tough. But those guys will cycle out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Seattle's already starting to have problems. But anyway,
Brian
Quick? Be Quick? I don't think so. Yeah, that's the Quick that used to play for the Eagles' son. 2 receptions, 27 yards. You look at everything else, not bad. Let's take a peek, though, if we can, at the Browns. Mm-hmm. Brandon Weeden, 10 for 13, 112 yards, a touchdown. Looks like Troy Aikman to me. hey, B. Jackson, who is that? I don't even know. It's not Jackson. Bo Jackson.
No.
11 attempts, 32 yards.
Is it Brandon Jackson?
Jason. Yeah. That's not Jason Campbell. Yeah,
Jackson.
That is Jason Campbell. One attempt, 12 yards rushing. He must have had to go. You got Greg Little, one for one. That was an end around, I guess. Receiving, you had Gordon, 2 for 27. Fine. Little, 2 for 20. Okay. You know what? Neither team showed that much, did they? And it was a 27-19 game. And at the end of the first half, it was 20-10 St. Louis. So what does that tell you? Cleveland. Cleveland probably would have won the game if they'd have left all their starters in. Let's go to the next game, Washington-Tennessee. Did you see this game? I did.
I saw a little bit of it.
I'm going to tell you something. Washington looked good.
I came out here on the show last week and I said that I don't watch preseason because it's worse than getting blue balls.
But I got to tell you, you know, you look
still believe that.
You look at analyzed box score here. If you go to NFL.com, Grossman.
I don't even need to look at the box score because I know my man Pat White tore it up.
Yeah, well, Pat White had 3 drops. He was 5 for 8, and 3 of the 3 he didn't complete hit guys right in the hands.
Oh, man.
Kirk Cousins, though, was the guy. 6 for 7, 52 yards, 1 touchdown. You know who represents him? Mike McCartney.
Was he the guy who led the team twice down the field, scored the winning touchdown and 2-point conversion?
Last year, yes.
Because I think that was the boy, that Pat White.
Well, I don't care. Yeah, but that was a preseason game.
Pat White.
He was playing against the 4th string.
Pat White.
Now, look at this. Evan Royster, 14 for 62 yards. Mm-hmm. Roy Helu, 13 for 57 yards.
Pat White, 5 carries, 33 yards.
You know, here's the problem with this right now. They're not going to keep 3. They've already said
they have 4 quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they're probably going to keep 2.
They'll keep all 3.
No, they won't.
With RG3?
No, they'll keep all 3.
They're not going to keep all 3. All right, whatever. Well,
you can go to sportsmancave.com and check out my article I wrote about why Pat White makes the team.
I'll bet you. Well, I hope he makes the team because I hate the other guy.
Here's my thought process.
Do you actually think?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, so you have RG3, right, who runs the pistol spread read option, whatever you want to call it. It's like a hybrid spread. Okay, you have that offense. Then you have the Kirk Cousins traditional offense, who can now run the Kyle Shanahan, the quote Kyle Shanahan offense that was ran.
Don't talk about Kyle too much
in Houston. All right. So the only reason why Rex Grossman's on the team is because he knows the traditional Kyle Shanahan offense, which they don't even run anymore.
Right.
So if you watched this game and you watched Pat White was the only quarterback out of the 3 quarterbacks to run the pistol read spread, which is their primary offense.
Right.
So they keep him as a RG3 backup in case RG3 goes down, and then you keep Cousins as your traditional quarterback. Rex Grossman's gone.
Well, let's look at the stats because I want to keep going because here's the only thing that bothers me. I agree with you, Roy. Here's the only thing that bothers me. With that game for the Redskins, they didn't tackle well in the secondary. They didn't tackle well at the point of attack. Chris Johnson had 2 attempts, 60 yards and a touchdown. One was 58 yards. Sean Green, 5 attempts, 32 yards and a touchdown. They don't tackle. Now there were some guys that didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy that didn't play is a starting safety named D. Hall, who doesn't tackle well either. Mm-hmm. So my point I'm making is that they're playing with rookie corners, pretty much.
Yeah.
They are. And they're playing with, you know, safeties that have a little age on them.
And rookie safeties
like
Rambo.
And they're also playing with Brian Arakpo, who was out basically the last 2 years because he got injured both years, right?
Yeah.
They don't have their big guy who has the radio show that I listen to coming out here. I forget his name, but he's a defensive
Kerrigan?
Lineman. Yeah. No, not Ryan Kerrigan. They have Ryan Kerrigan. He's a monster. But, you know, Ryan Kerrigan, if something happens to him, they're screwed.
You're talking about the wrestling show that he
Yes,
has?
Yes, yes.
What is his
you know what I'm talking
name?
About. Adam Carriker.
Carriker.
Adam Carriker's a great guy, by
Carriker,
the way.
Carriker, Kerrigan. Those 2 guys.
Adam Carriker's a great guy. But anyway, Adam Carriker's injured. He's not going to probably play all year.
He's not going to play all year, yeah.
No, he's not. So they're in trouble.
I mean,
they don't have the defensive front 7 they thought they were going to have to begin with. Now they've got secondary that's not that good. You know what I like about the Redskins already? Over.
That's the Eagles,
just
too.
Like the Philadelphia. When the Eagles play the Redskins, there may not be any tackling at all.
Over.
I'm a little worried about it. It's going to go over 60. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm playing the over right now. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to Vegas on the 20th.
The Titans
I'll
suck,
be in
though.
Las Vegas the 20th to the 25th. If you want to come see me, give me a call, 1-800-466-4748. I'd love to meet you. Love to talk to you about football. Love to talk to you about the NFL. And what I'll be doing out there, Roy, futures. I'm looking at my futures, because futures is really the only way to play. I don't play during the year. It's illegal. You know what I mean? And I don't like online. I don't like online, offline stuff. I don't do that stuff. But I like to go to Vegas and play futures, because right now we know four plays that we're going to not lose on. We're not going to lose on Kansas City at 7.5. They're going to win 10 games. We're not going to lose on under with the New England Patriots at 12. They're 12 now. I don't see that. I see 10 or 11. We're going to win with the Baltimore Ravens over 8.5. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to win with that. And what else are we going to win with? What else are we going to win with, Roy? Under 12, Seattle. They're not going to win 12. They're going to win 10. They're going to win 10. That's four winners right there, guys. Book Southwest Airlines. Get your butt out there. Walk up and down the strip. Find your best plays and play them. But anyway, let's go to the next one.
But I don't play during the year either.
I don't either. Hey, but you know what? We play with you and me.
But
me
if
and
you
play.
You know.
Hey,
wanted to see some stuff.
Hey, really
you
quick.
Go to Bovada.
Hey, really quick. Denver 10, San Francisco 6. What a waste that was. You know. Yeah. Kaepernick.
Did he even play?
Yeah, he played one series. They went down and scored a field goal, and so did Goofball
Manning.
Peyton. I love Peyton. Did you see the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning? Did you see their thing they did on TV about the
Two of them now.
They're unbelievable.
It's the D in a box ripoff, and there's also the football cops.
But the D in the box ripoff was the best.
Yes.
That was by far the best. Those guys are.
Is it Justin? Was it Justin?
Yeah, no, but it was
Eli and Peyton together.
It was Eli and Peyton being Justin.
Oh,
and they had
funny.
Three girls dressed in black behind him that looked just, you know, fine.
It's Dish Network. Look it up when we're
what's
about to
the
go
Lonely
to our
Island
next
guy? What's his name?
Adam Sandberg.
he's hilarious, Sandberg. Man. Have you seen his new album?
No.
It's too funny. You need to YouTube that.
They're all funny. Let's go back to NFL.com. What was the next game we were talking about?
Oh.
Quick.
Well, I just pulled up the Denver game.
No, it was Denver. We don't care about that game. Both those teams will be there when it's said and done. Remember when I said on Twitter earlier in the week?
Seattle, San Diego.
I'm going to be watching those are the two teams I picked to be in the Super Bowl, San Francisco, Denver. And that may be right. It may not be. San Francisco needs some help on defense.
I have San Francisco, Houston.
Seattle, 31, San Diego, 10. Seattle just got better athletes, did a better job. The next game, Miami, Jacksonville. God, how bad is Jacksonville?
Jacksonville's so bad.
They are so bad. They needed Tim Tebow. If they had Tim Tebow, they would have won 27-3. Don't you think?
No.
I swear to God,
I don't think anything helps the Jaguars.
They would have done. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Somebody's calling.
And that
tell
sounds like
to
Tony
find
Mazur.
Football on your phone.
Yeah, you can go to sportsmancave.com and you'll see in the top banner.
Football,
and that will be
on, your
football on your phone.
Hey, Tony. Tony, have you seen that football on your phone spinoff that Eli and Peyton do?
No, I didn't get an opportunity to see that. I know everyone's talking about it.
It's unbelievable. They're like, they might as well be. What's that cat's name from Nashville that's so good? Justin Timberlake. Let me tell you. Well, he lives in Nashville. That's his home, by the way.
Memphis,
you're right. He lives in Memphis. He's best friends with a buddy of mine there that owns a big club there, Wilbur Hensley. But I'm going to tell you, that was incredible. I watched it like 10 times, never got sick of it. Have you seen Joe Biden's buy a shotgun video?
Anything with Joe Biden has to be a riot.
Yeah, he is one of the sickest people I think I've ever met in my life. I've never met him, but I feel like I've met him. He wouldn't. They probably wouldn't let me within 100 yards of Joe Biden. I'm Bruce Hall. We got Tony Mazur from Cleveland, WKRK. You know, you almost WKRK, you can't say in Cincinnati. You got to say in Cleveland. And, Tony, you're like on the air a lot now, right? Aren't you getting a bunch of gigs out there?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot more on-air stuff, which is great, because we like to talk about in Cleveland how God hates Cleveland. That's the big motif we have. God hates Cleveland. Everything that happens, you just sit there and go, you know what? I'm a religious man, but you got to admit that God hates Cleveland.
No, I absolutely
agree with you.
Yeah, I think God hates Cleveland too, buddy. Although he apparently just keeps giving him a bunch of shots because he gives you all these number one draft picks. You guys just, I don't. What's the deal with that? Why, how can you guys get a number one draft pick in almost every sport and still suck as bad as you do?
It's amazing. Well, it's because you have corrupt owners and you have everybody else who just. But they do it under the guise, because if you think about this with Dan Gilbert, everyone in Cleveland loves Dan Gilbert. For what? He guaranteed the Cavs would win a championship before Miami did. Well, Miami has two championships. I don't know what he's talking about.
Hey, let me tell you something. The epitome of Cleveland sports to me is that video that guy is standing outside the stadium, screaming at the stadium at the top of his lungs. It's like a 9-minute diatribe. It's unbelievable.
What does he say about the stadium? He says it's a sanctuary of sadness.
Yeah, factory of sadness.
Yeah, there it is.
That's one of the best pieces I think I've ever seen. Listen, I got to play. I saw Kevin Kiley for the first time in probably 3 or 4 years. He came back to D.C. and he and me, and I'm dropping names here, Mike Patrick played golf. And I actually didn't lose money, which is a good thing. I usually do when I play those guys. But Kevin looked good. He looked like he had lost weight or something. Whatever he's doing in Cleveland, he's not eating, which seems
It's morning radio. It's like the only time you ever eat something at that point is when someone brings free food to the radio station. That's how it is. It's like, hey, we're bringing food here. You up? Don't have to worry about breakfast today.
No, I hear you. Hey, let's talk about the Browns, because I was impressed. Now, you and I talked a little bit, you know, online, and we talked a little bit, you know, via email, you know, just going back and forth, trying to figure out if they're going to be any good, because I'm getting ready to go to Vegas for my futures. And as you notice, I was hoping you could join me out there. Tony, you've never been to Vegas. I got to get somebody to sponsor your trip. You know, we have to get you to come out there. But listen, if you ever do go to Vegas, and I know you like football and you like sports in general, obviously, because you work for a sports station. But the deal is, you got to go late August, because you got to go out there when the futures are all in every sports book. Pick the best number that you of the team that you like the most and play them. And not only, and you play golf every day too. Do you play golf?
A little bit. Well, that I'm like the Jimmy Pearsall of golf, though.
You're crazy.
Throwing my clubs and hit balls in the woods. I golf like Tiger did this past weekend, or Phil.
What Phil actually hit 2 or 3 shots that looked like me this week, which never happens. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm on the line with Tony Mazur from Cleveland, WKRK. Let's talk about these guys. Is Brandon Whedon as good as Norv's telling everybody he is? Because Norv has said he loves the kid. Is that true?
No, it's not true. Norv likes the downfield vertical passing game. We keep hearing that. I'm not saying Brandon Whedon's not going to have a better season, because he was fairly mediocre last year.
Right.
What we've gathered at camp, the Browns actually have, for the first time in a long time, actually have talent. But guys like Josh Gordon, Brandon Whedon, the term loafing has been thrown around with some of these guys. Whedon is he's going to be 30. He's a big arm quarterback.
He's a former baseball player. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he was with the Yankees organization, and he's not mobile in the pocket, so he's a guy that he's got to make quick decisions. His problem last fall of last year, and it kind of resurfaced the other day. Actually, has two problems. One of them, he pats the ball too much as he's trying to pump fake, or it might be a nervous tick. And the other one is
If a guy's 6'4", 6'5", he gets passes batted out all the time at the line. And it continues to be a problem with the guy. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to have a better season, but I think he's actually, with Norm's scheme, I think he can actually have a pretty successful season of some sort. But Norm is making this guy out, you know, sound like he's friggin' Jake DeLome in 2004.
You know, it's funny. When Norv was in Washington early on, he made a guy named John Freese, who was a backup in San Diego, look like he was an all-pro. And John Freese didn't have much mobility, but he was a big, tall guy with a good arm. He might be like Whedon. As you remember, Norv Turner also drafted Heath Shuler, who sucked forever. And the problem with Heath Shuler was he played at Tennessee, where he was coached by David Cutcliffe. Well, David Cutcliffe's the best offensive mind in college football. So when, you know, Norv couldn't even make him look as good as Cutcliffe did. But I really think that you're going to see Cleveland's offense do better. What do you think about Richardson now? Is he healthy? Or is he just not playing? Did he even get any touches this week?
No, he sat out. So he had a shin injury. Apparently one of his, I don't know if it was on purpose or accident, but he was kicked in the shins the other day. And I mean, the guy, Richardson is, when he's on, he's on. When he's healthy, the problem is no one ever knows if he's going to be healthy. It's just one thing after another. He's never taken a handoff in the preseason. Last year, I mean, you know, it's not, but last year he's a rookie and set up the entire preseason. So we didn't know what we were going to get from him. And so now preseason game number 5 since he's been there, and he's sat out all of them. So he may not play against for the Battle of Lake Erie against Detroit on Thursday. So.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think
he can only hope. He needs to get the experience.
Yeah, but you know what? If he plays against those guys, they're going to try to hurt him. Yeah, just because their defensive line, that's what they're all about.
So Tony, the Trent Richardson, I know there's a lot of minds think he's the key to the offense and that he's your big time running back. But what does Deion Lewis bring as a potential third string or a third down back and possibly a backup for Richardson? Do you like him going forward? Do you think he's a good fit in this offense?
I love Deion Lewis. He was they stole him from Manuel Acho, if you can believe that, from the Eagles. And Deion Lewis is, I've been hearing Darren Sproles, and I've been hearing some of these other smaller backs
that
have come out in the last 10 years. And Deion Lewis could very well be that guy who can catch passes out of the backfield. And almost really use Trent as what I've been saying all along is a hybrid fullback as well, kind of like a Mike Allstott, where maybe lessen his touches, and you have Deion Lewis coming out of the backfield and was just explosive the other day. I like the pickup, and that was a great move by Mike Lombardi to bring him in there, and I really do like it for a guy that, and he can even set up, I think, in the slot too. And,
sure. Hey, Tony, can you stay on another? Can you stay on another segment with us? We got to do a quickie here, and then we'll be right back with you. Is that cool?
I sure can.
All right, buddy. We'll be right back with Tony Mazur from WKRK. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall with Roy Edwards. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here in News Talk 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Hey,
got Tony Mazur on the line.
Tony, I got something I want to say before we go back to the Browns, because I want to talk about their offensive line. But somebody just sent something to me on Twitter. It was Tom Lavero of the Washington Times, and he's got a show on 980, and it was Bobby Thompson. This day in 1951, this is 2 years before I was born, the New York Giants, that used to be the San Francisco Giants, Roy, fell to 13.5 games behind the Brooklyn Dodgers. On October 3rd, Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world, and the Giants won the pennant. you know, I had a feeling that the Giants could pull this off, and they have already done it once. All right, tell me about the offensive line for the Cleveland Browns, because that's important. Are they better than they were last year? Please say yes.
They're better, yeah. Joe Thomas is in, I believe he's going into his seventh season right now, and he's just a mainstay. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. The only reason I say borderline is because he's played on so many garbage teams.
Yeah.
And they shorted up. They started to sign some of the guys like John Greco, and they have Jason Pinkston, who's trying to get back into the starting out of Pitt to play a guard spot. Alex Mack was a first-round draft pick a few years ago. And then Mitchell Schwartz kind of stumbled a little bit in the first couple of games and ended up being a quality right tackle. So this offensive line, I mean, if Brandon Weeden's getting passes batted down, if he's getting sacked, it's probably because of him. The offensive line looks impressive right now.
Well, you know, Norv will probably roll him out a little bit. The thing I like about Norv is even when he was in Dallas, you know, early on, before the Cowboys had that great run that they had for several years, you know, he used to roll his quarterbacks out a little bit to get away from the pressure. Is Whedon's good enough to roll, isn't he, just a little bit, or just do a little sprint out and stop?
No.
Oh, God.
He's a guy, you keep him in the shotgun and hope to God the line blocks for him, because he can't run. He is just, it's watching. Like, honestly, last year when I was watching him try to roll out, you may as well put the yakety sacks from the Benny Hill theme on. My God, it was hilarious watching. I was trying to hear maybe the elephant walk or something.
Hey, who's your
bad when you try to roll out?
Hey, Tony, who's your backup? Your backup quarterback.
Backup right now, it's Jason Campbell.
You know what, Jason? What you're telling me about this guy, Jason Campbell's already better than he is.
He's king checkdown.
Yeah, but Jason Campbell can play. Trust me. I mean, he is an average to above average quarterback. He's never going to have a great game, but he's going to have good games. And his bad games aren't horrible. Does that make sense?
No, I don't like Jason.
Oh yeah,
Campbell.
And you know what's interesting, that you were talking about the coaching staff, and really the coaching staff is vitally improved from the Pat Shermer days, Dick Geron and Brad Childress. You had, you know, Norv Turner, you have Ray Horton as the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You look at the coaching staff under Rob Spinski, it looks nice.
Yeah.
And then you have Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner. And the reason I bring all this up is Brandon Weeden was bashed by Lombardi when he was on the NFL Network.
I remember that.
Got a quarterback.
Yep.
And so it's almost like a conflict of interest, and you're hearing Norv talk about how Brandon's had a fantastic camp and this, which is not true.
Right.
But after that, you have Mike Lombardi, who's really never given that vote of confidence for Brandon Weeks. And it's almost like the front office just, in my opinion, they're eyeing the 2014 draft, and they're looking up some quarterback prospects.
And I don't blame them.
The coaching staff.
Yep.
Thinks he's going to be the future.
And Tony, I don't blame him either. And let me just say this. This is why I was asking you about the upgrades and if they look like they're going to be better. They don't need to win 8 games this year. They're not going to win 8 games. But my point is this would be a good year for them to win 3 or 4 games and get those picks they need. The thing I like about the Browns now is they have professionals in place. Now, I'm not a big Lombardi fan. Don't get me wrong. He's average at best, maybe slightly above average. He actually did a much better job on NFL Network than he ever did in the front office, but because he probably realized that was going to be what he did the rest of his life. I like Mike personally. He's real good friends with some people I know, but I got to tell you one thing. You know, those guys do need a quarterback, because Jason Campbell ain't the answer either. They're going to need to somehow get into the mix. There's 3 or 4 decent quarterbacks coming out of college, but they may need to pick up a number 2 somewhere, like this guy with the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a kid from Michigan State that all of a sudden, when he goes in there, he looks like a 4 or 5 year veteran. Now, he's being coached up a little bit. by Mike Shanahan. And you know what? I never gave Shanahan enough credit. But let me ask you this. Let's talk. Let's go real quick while I got you on the phone, because it's hard to get you, and I love having you on the show. We're talking, by the way, to Tony Mazur, WKRK in Cleveland, and we're talking NFL football. Hey, let's talk about the North Division, first of all. Let's say they win 5-6 games this year, the Browns. Who do you think is going to win the North this year? Who do you think is going to win the division?
I've got Cincinnati. Cincinnati is, though, Andy Dalton is kind of like a Brandon Weeds-esque, where the big arm but big question mark. And he's
more athletic.
He's proven himself. Yeah. And the Bengals just have a good team all around, offense, defense. I have the Bengals winning the division with – and Baltimore, you just – every year you almost count out Baltimore. You go, they're too old.
You can't do it.
Leaving the, and they just end up winning 9 games. They've been in the playoffs, I think, 6 straight years. So if I put this right now, I would say Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had key injuries. They had Matt Spaeth is out for the season, and with the broken bone in his foot, I think. And Pittsburgh just does not look that impressive. And I still think that there is that rift between Roethlisberger and Todd Haley. And it just seemed like oil and water going in.
Well, you know what? With Pittsburgh's personnel this year, they're going to have to throw the ball short, because they don't have anybody that can go down the field. Hell, their tight end is one of their best downfield receivers. He's Heath Miller. And when your tight end, who's it's got to be his 10th year or 11th year out of the University of Virginia, he doesn't have the speed he used to have. You know, I don't see them really doing that much. Now, they will throw the ball to the backs. They will check down. They're going to be okay short. But I'm going to tell you, Roethlisberger's going to take a beating, and he can't afford to take a beating, in my opinion. And I think you're right. I don't think they win 8 games, Pittsburgh. I just don't see it happening. I like Baltimore. Believe it or not, I like them winning 11 games, and I like Cincinnati winning 11 games, and I think Baltimore is going to win the division. I think Baltimore is going to make it back this year. If Cleveland improves like it looks like they're going to do, and I think you believe they're going to improve, that's going to be maybe the best division in football eventually. Even it might even be better than the West, the NFC West eventually.
Yeah, it really depends. And you got to see what you do. This is what's happening with Flacco now that the defense, Ed Reed's no longer there, and Paul Kruger was now on the Browns. And I thought Kruger was a good signing. I didn't think it was a. I didn't think it was a red carpet free agent signing. I thought it was a solid signing for the Browns, but Baltimore just ends up fell on load, and then they just Ozzie Newsom was the best. He's one of the few people in professional sports to be a Hall of Fame player and a Hall of Fame front office person.
Hey, Tony, real quick, who do you have if you had to pick right now, and you had to pick your Super Bowl? Who would you pick?
This old question. I'm looking right now. I gotta say, you gotta take a look at San Francisco. You get Anquan Boldin as a guy who can be kind of a change of pace wide receiver with that team. I'm looking at San Francisco, and then probably. I think San Francisco and Seattle going down the stretch. I know Percy Harvin's out, but I think that'll be fantastic to watch down the stretch. But San Francisco and probably Denver.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at a San Francisco-Denver Super Bowl.
Those are the
favorites.
I think
Peyton Manning,
yeah.
If he learns to stop throwing across his body, and again, who am I, Tony Mazur out of Cleveland, Ohio, telling Peyton Manning how to throw a football? But throwing across his body ended up killing him in that game.
Yeah, it did. And you know what? It's not the first time Peyton's done that. The thing about, you know, in New York, where our show goes out of Westchester, what everybody talks about in New York is Eli, they say in the big games, Eli's much better than Peyton. He gets up for the big games. Peyton seems to, like, maybe think too much about him, overplan, maybe overwork, and then he just blows it. You know, I think more of that is the fact that during the regular season, which takes a toll on you, Peyton does a better job during the regular season. I think that he has a really good idea of how to win every week. And then you get to the playoffs and you just take a deep breath and it's like, well, I'm here. This is great. Well, you know what? You got to stay just as hungry. I agree with you. I said on Twitter this week and, you know, sent Roy some stuff my Super Bowl was played last night. And if you look what they did, neither team did anything against the other. They didn't even show anything. So I think they think that they're going back, San Francisco and Denver. And if you follow the NFL close enough, you know nothing happens without a reason, right? Denver was supposed to win last year, and they didn't. Could you tell? I mean, I think everybody in the league did all they could to get Denver in the game. They just didn't do it because because Baltimore just played out of their butt. Yeah. I mean, they were unbelievable.
Well, they had the whole Ray Lewis
Flacco was unbelievable. Yeah, and Ray Lewis. But Ray Lewis did more to make them lose than anything else. Hey, Tony, I love having you on the show. What else you got going? Hey, let's talk real quick. We got about 3 minutes. Roy's got a question for you.
Yeah, but before we jump too far off this Cleveland thing, Greg... Greg Little, seemingly the Browns, their only real receiver over the past, I don't know how many years, has only been their tight end, whether through checkdowns or whatever the reason may be. But Brandon Whedon targeted Greg Little 4 times in the first 3 drives, something like that. Is there another receiver who's going to step up out of this core, or is it going to be the Brandon Whedon to Greg Little show?
Well, no, it's actually Josh Gordon is the number one receiver. The problem is he has a penchant for substances, and he suspended 2 games because he, for some reason, didn't realize that cough syrup had codeine in it. Now that's the line we got, that he had a strep throat or a sore throat or whatever, and he took cough medicine, and I didn't know there was codeine in there, and I didn't know codeine was a banned substance. Oh, yeah, okay.
Look, I didn't know it either.
I don't believe that. But he's suspended for the first 2 games.
Is he really?
The guy who's he's had a problem with, he smokes pot all the time. He's a guy that he has a camouflage Camaro. And we get calls on our station saying, hey, I just saw a camouflage Camaro drive by me 120 miles an hour on the freeway. He's a head kicker.
Yeah, it sounds like. Where do you go to school? Do you know?
Well,
it must be somewhere in the South with that camo. That's like Duck Dynasty stuff.
That's
there.
Awesome.
Well, he was at Baylor.
Well, there you go. Well, Baylor's a highly religious school. Baylor is a very religious school,
that's
too.
RG3, yeah.
Of course, Baylor's had some problems. They've had that's where RG3's from. That's where a lot of people are from. Tony, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And
I got to say one thing.
Sure.
The tribe aren't looking good. The tribe are not looking good here.
Yeah, it looks like they're letting a little room get between them, and your boy, what's his name, Perez, looks like he's having some flashbacks.
Well, Mark Reynolds is no more on the no longer on the team, so that experiment failed.
Yeah, that's too bad.
He'll be in Baltimore. And he'll end up hitting like the Indians will be playing. This is where God hates Cleveland. Another example. I know Roy likes that.
God hates Cleveland.
Mark Reynolds designated for assignment gets picked up by the Orioles. The Indians are playing the Orioles in a wild card berth. Mark Reynolds hits a walk off home run to win it for the Orioles. That's where you sit there and go, you know what? God hates Cleveland.
Hey, you know what? It's great having you on. Hey, Tony, we'll get back to you here in a week or two because when we get around to opening day, we're going to want to know what the Browns are going to do. Tony Mazur, WKRK in Cleveland. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on News Talk 1230. WFS is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
I better check my mail. Hey, give us a call, 240-317-7294. If we're saying anything to offend you or if we're saying anything that you think is wrong, give us a call. We love to argue with fresh meat. Okay,
we would love.
I get tired of arguing with Matt. I mean, I can argue with Matt 24/7. I mean,
we'd love
he
to
stands for everything
you.
That I don't believe in, and Roy, I can argue with because he just thinks he knows it all.
I do,
and
that's why I'm here.
You've just described my atheist version of hell. It would be talking to you for 24 hours.
I love it.
A day,
hey, hopefully, God's got something in mind for you. Hey, you know, we may even let you just get that close to heaven. You know, and just to talk to me. So, Matt, how are you doing in hell? Is it nice and warm down there? By the way, I read half of Revelation this week, and I read the book of John. I read the whole book of John. Hey, look, if you like
spoilers,
look, if you're not Matt, look, if you're not Matt and you believe in God, here's what I'd like you to do. Read the Bible, read the New Testament, and read the book of John. It'll make you feel great. I did it this
I like
week.
John, yeah.
I did. Hey, listen, let's real quick talk about PGA golf, because I'm looking, it's 11:30, mm-hmm. and 11:33 to be exact. And here's the deal. The PGA, you know, which is one of the four majors, is being played right now. I've watched almost every single stroke in that tournament. And let me tell you what happened, if you don't know. What happened was at Oak Hill, up in Rochester, New York, it rained cats and dogs for 2 days. They played in it. And it was so wet that literally the players were firing at the pin and it would just stop right there on the green. They were taking target practice. It was like a dartboard. For the guys that play really, really well in, you know, bad weather and hard courses like Tiger Woods and guys like that, Phil Mickelson, they were at a disadvantage kind of because it was easy for everybody. So the guys that have very accurate irons and the guys that can hit fairways, they're like in the lead. But if you look, there's some very, very good golfers on the leaderboard. Now, they've already started. And if you would, go to PGA.com, pull the leaderboard up. Let's see if anybody is actually doing anything today. But Jimmy Furyk, who hasn't won a major in a long, long time.
Yep, he's 9-under right now.
Yeah, he's 9-under. He tees off at like 2:30. Jason Duffner was phenomenal for 3 days. Jason Duffner actually shot a 63, which is a course record there. And he is one stroke back at 8-under. Henrik Stenson, who Fanny used to, you know, who Kat used to caddy for. She doesn't anymore. I think she's busy having babies now. Henrik Stenson is at 7-under. Jonas Blixt, who actually won a tournament here in Virginia it's actually West Virginia, I guess, at the oh God! What's the name of the place? The Homestead or whatever? Yeah, that's the only PGA tournament he's ever won. He qualified for the PGA. I think he would have got in anyway. But he's in fourth place. Adam Scott, Steve Stricker, both 5-under. If Adam Scott had made any putts at all this week with his big long belly putter, he would be in the lead. He has played better than anybody. He can't make a putt to save his life. Sounds like Tiger. Steve Stricker's playing a lot better. And guess who shot a 67 yesterday, the best round yesterday? Rory McIlroy. He's finally come up for air from his girlfriend, whatever, you know, the tennis player.
Well, Dustin Johnson shot a 65.
Yes, he did. Well, that's right. He had the round of the day. But Rory is at 3-under. Lee Westwood at 3-under. Dustin Johnson, who shot 65 yesterday after a 72-71.
Yeah.
He was 3-over par going in yesterday. Now he's 2-under.
Yeah,
any of those guys can win, probably. It's going to take a Furyk slight meltdown, a Duffner slight meltdown, a Stenson coming back to the pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say Adam Scott's got a great chance.
Yeah, well, he was the number three favorite going into this. It was Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, then Adam Scott. And Adam Scott is sitting here. I mean, he's not out of it, but he's 4 strokes back. He needs a little help from his friends. Lee Westwood could be or should be in prime contention if it wasn't for the 73 that he shot in round two.
Yep.
So, I mean, but that can happen to anybody. That 73 could happen to, you know, any
and
of the top guys.
Tiger ended up, what, 3-over, 4-over after yesterday? And I really didn't play horribly.
Tiger Woods,
But he didn't hit enough greens.
71, 70, 73.
Yeah,
right now through four.
Yeah,
so.
He didn't hit enough greens to even have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, he's 4-over right
now.
And
you know what? He was hoping Oak Hill would be like Oak Hill. He was hoping that you could shoot 3-under and win the tournament. And it's just not going to happen.
He was the heavy favorite going into the tournament.
Absolutely. The but anyway, that's on It's either on CBS or NBC. It's one of those two major stations. I know until 2 o'clock, it's TNT. TBS. It's on TBS network.
Very funny.
Which is, well, it's the same thing, right? TNT and TBS are owned by the same dude.
Same people.
The same dude. But anyway, that's going to happen. And you look at...
So it must be CBS then, because CBS owns TNT, or part of the same package. TNT, TBS, CBS.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked about baseball. We've talked about football. Let's talk about Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
We got to talk about Johnny Manziel, and we're taking calls on Johnny Manziel. Do you think the kid should be able to get paid for his autograph?
Should he be able to get paid? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Can he get paid?
Do you think he's broken the rules?
Yes.
Yes. Is something bad going to happen? Probably.
Probably, yes.
Is it going to be serious? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on what they do with the law, because they're going to sue.
Well, there's a lawsuit going through right now.
Well, yeah, but it may not have anything to do with what they rule. In other words, they might be able to get an injunction to keep the NCAA from penalizing him. Now, that would be a serious lawsuit, and that would have to cost a lot of money to do all the filing and all that
the
stuff.
The lawsuit right now is already made changes in the NCAA. Where now we saw NCAA, the video game, no longer exists.
Right.
You know, that. I mean.
Yeah, well, they've been getting guys. They've been making money off these guys.
Well, they're a nonprofit, technically.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Of course they make money off these guys. They print jerseys with their numbers. I mean, I'm an old timer, so if I go to WVU and I ask for a number 5 jersey, I expect that to be either Chris Henry or Pat White. I don't know who the current number 5 – whoever wears that jersey, I don't know who that is, but I will forever wear a number 5 football jersey, and I will forever wear a number 20 basketball jersey for Mike Gansey. I don't know who those numbers are now on those teams, but that's the only problem that I have with the NCAA going forward is if I buy a number 5 and I buy a number 20, who does that money go to? Does it go to whoever currently wears that number, or does it go to the guy who I am buying the jersey
for?
Well,
here's the key. I don't think it goes to either one of them. You know who it goes to?
Right now, it doesn't go to anybody.
It goes to the school.
Right.
And see, that's what it's all about.
And that's the big sticking point right now.
Well, they're already making millions of dollars off these kids.
Yes.
And I call them kids, and you know, there's a guy that says you shouldn't call them kids because if they're 20, they're not kids anymore. Trust me, I call 40-year-olds kids, okay? They're all kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not mature, you're a kid, okay? If you're in college, you're probably a kid.
Well, if Alabama didn't have football, let's say that no universities have football, okay? Take Alabama for an instance.
Right.
Who would want to, who from California or, you know, New York or something like that would want to go to Alabama University as a student?
University of Alabama, probably nobody unless they were playing football.
Yeah, right, and then you put in the football teams, and all of a sudden that's a sticking point for people who want to go to school across the country. Say, oh, well, who has the best football program in the world? Oh, well, at the collegiate level. Oh, well, that would be Alabama right now, so I'm going to go to Alabama and watch some pretty damn good football. So, I mean, to sit back and act like these athletes don't make the university any money is absolutely ignorant. But at the same time, how do you pay them? Who do you pay them?
You know what? Here's the thing. There's no stipulation, and there's no language in any of the rules and regulations that the NCAA puts out to these universities that these kids can make any money. And
right.
It's ridiculous because the mass majority of these kids. Now, Johnny Manziel doesn't need a dime. His father's loaded.
Right, but that's not the point.
No, but here's the point. The point is that he's doing it just because he's Johnny Manziel.
Of course he is.
He has a God complex. He thinks that his you-know-what doesn't stink. He's going to go. Now, that's just my opinion. Yeah. This kid goes to fraternity houses on other campuses
he went to
party.
Texas. Well, he is a UT. He grew up a UT fan, to be fair, and he's from that area. So he went to a college party where I'm sure he has friends that go to UT because he's a Texas boy.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't go to a rival's university, especially if you're Johnny Manziel, and walk in and act like you own the place because you're going to get thrown out and it's going to be publicity all over the place.
Everybody's got a phone, too, with a camera on it.
And
they're all taking pictures of him drinking. They're taking pictures of him kissing girls.
But see, I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't have a problem with him going to parties. I don't have a problem with him kissing girls when he has a girlfriend or whatever. I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't even really have a problem with him selling his autograph. It's against the rules, so that's my problem with him blatantly breaking the rules. But at the same time, I think that a player should be allowed to sell their autograph. Kenny Mayne tweeted out an excellent point where he said art students are allowed to sell their art to make money. So why can't a football player sell his autograph?
Yeah, exactly. On a football. Yeah.
Hey, hell, if I'm Johnny Manziel, I pick up painting and I start painting pictures and I sign my name in the corner
pictures
and I
of
sell
me.
That.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a great point. And
for, I'm an art student.
And listen, something's going to happen. They're going to have to make a decision soon because the season's getting ready to start. I mean, what is it, 2 weeks until they play Alabama? I mean, doesn't Texas A&M play Alabama? Who don't they open up with somebody incredible? Pull up their schedule.
Texas A&M,
I mean, they can't
play,
afford not to have Johnny Manziel play.
I believe they play Rice first game, and I believe they play Alabama
second. Yeah, they're going to crush Rice no matter who's a quarterback.
Right.
And you know what? If you see them give him a one-game suspension, you'll know that the fix
third
is
Third game this season is Alabama. It goes Rice,
and that's
Sam
at
Houston
Alabama,
State.
Right? Or is that at a neutral
that
site?
That is versus Alabama, so
It could be in Birmingham.
I would assume it would be at home. I don't. I doubt that it would be at a neutral site.
So you think that's at Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was at Alabama.
I'm pretty sure he beat Alabama in Alabama last year, and that was like the big selling point.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
He really did. For the first time in generations, Roy, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230. WFAS, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at News Talk 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. If you want to weigh in on that, should college athletes be paid, or the Johnny Manziel situation altogether, give us a call, 240-317-7294. It's 240-317-7294, but we're going to switch gears at the moment, and we're going to talk about some professional football that is being played in the state of New York. There's a couple quarterbacks that make that headline. There's Eli Manning from the New York Giants. And then there is a toss-up between butt tackle and Geno Smith there in gangrene. So, starting with the New York Football Giants, since they're the bigger team, they're the bigger story there, how do you see that season playing out? What do you think about Eli Manning going forward? Do you think he obviously took a step back last year, because 2 years ago we were all asking if he was an elite quarterback or if he was a top four or five guy in the league. And now, a year or two removed from that, we sit here and we wonder if he's a top 10 guy. So what do you think about Eli Manning going forward? And do you think that he has enough weapons to make anything happen for the Giants in the postseason?
Well, you know, here's the deal as far as I'm concerned with the New York Giants. They remind me they're a little bit like the San Francisco Giants in baseball. It seems like every other year they have a really good year, and every other year they're like on hold. Mm-hmm. And they took their year off last year. Now, I don't really see a lot of big improvement, especially on the defensive side of the ball with the Giants. I've already made the statement, and you agreed, and you kind of agree with me here. The winner of the NFC East is probably going to win 8 or 9 games. I mean, I don't think they're going to win 10 or 11. I think the Cowboys may have the best personnel right now that are healthy, mm-hmm. with the Redskins actually not being far behind if RG3 is healthy. If RG3, Robert Griffin III, can't play, you know, until the third game of the season, that's going to cripple them for the first two games, in my opinion. Do they have a guy that can sub for him? Yeah. Is he going to be enough? Who knows? Philadelphia, in my opinion, is going to win 4 to 5 games, maybe 6 games. They're not going to be there. I just don't see it happening. Dallas is going to win 8 or 9 or 10 games, because if they don't, Jason Garrett's gone. I mean, I don't even think they can keep him anymore. He's not calling the plays anymore either, Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Somebody else is.
That's kind of the phase out.
Well, here's the thing. Tom Coughlin will not leave the Giants, in my opinion, until they have a really good season again. So this would be the perfect year to have it. If they can make the playoffs with Eli, you know, with Cruz, with all of their, you know, with their running game. And they do have some guys that can run. It remains to be seen how much better they're going to be than last year. Last year, injuries killed them. 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, injuries killed them. Everybody got healthy at the right time. And they ended up beating the right guys. And it was like a perfect storm when Green Bay just choked big time and lost at home.
Yeah.
And there was a lot that went into that. The Giants are going to be tough. The Jets, on the other hand, I don't see it. Now, to me, the media in New York is easy on Rex. They really are. They're really hard on Sanchez. But how can you be hard on Sanchez and not be hard on Rex? Rex is the head coach. Rex called pretty much all the shots last year. Rex got, there was a defensive coordinator fired. There was a general manager fired. Everybody got fired except Rex and the owner last year, basically. Mm-hmm. And Sanchez. Tebow is gone. Like it was his fault. He didn't even get to play.
Yeah.
So here's what I think with the Jets. I think the Jets are dysfunctional. I don't think there's any way they do anything. I think you can bet the under almost every game on the Jets. I think Geno Smith, even if he eventually starts game 3, 4, 5, a lot of people think game 3 will be when he starts because they're going to have like 10 days to prepare for it, and they could very easily be 0-2 at that time. If Geno Smith comes in and looks like he can play, I think he's going to be the guy. And I think if he's I think if he's going to be the guy, Roy, I think they're going to be very patient with him. And then it's going to be up injuries. I don't see Sanchez getting off the bench and putting the clipboard down and coming back in. I really don't. If anything, I see Sanchez gone next year, and well, I see a backup quarterback being signed or two. Don't you?
I think that New Yorkers need to slow down with the whole quarterback situation surrounding the Jets. Everyone has been quick to point at Greg McElroy. Why won't they give him a chance? I believe it was Michael Irvin who came on and he said, why doesn't this guy get a chance? Why doesn't this guy get a chance? Well, the guy has no arm strength, yes. First of all. He's got a water pistol arm. He doesn't really have a full grasp of the offense. I know that he put up some decent stats in the preseason game that they just had, but the two big names here to look at are Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith. Now, Mark Sanchez has had up and down years in New York. He's had Flacco-like stats, except that this guy can't win the big game. And people forget 4 years ago, the guy led the Jets to back-to-back AFC Championship games. So the guy, he's not a loser. Okay, he had a bad season with the Bucs.
Do you see how hard I'm trying not to say anything?
I mean, he's
their defense won it for him. Their running game won it for him.
Mark Sanchez, it doesn't matter who won it for him. Yeah, he was the guy behind
center.
Look at
Mark Sanchez's career quarterback rating. He's like one of the worst in football ever for a guy that's played 4 or 5 years. The guy's terrible.
He's not going to get any better. I'm saying that
he's not even a good quarterback. He's a bad quarterback. You've seen Bad Santa?
Yeah.
He's bad NFL QB.
He has a 55% completion percentage over his career,
which is horrible.
Which is not that bad.
That's horrible.
Is it really that horrible?
Absolutely. Anybody worth a damn has 58, 59, 60. Look how many guys are over 60. There's a dozen that are between 59 and 64. I'm just telling you, he's horrible.
I don't think so.
His rating. Forget his percentage. Most of the throws he throws are 10-yard passes.
That's the offense
he picked sixth on the other night.
Joe Flacco's completion percentage is below 49%.
Yeah, but he throws
the
ball down.
He just got $100 million.
But he throws the ball down the field, and he also
goes. And that's the offense he's in.
And he goes to the playoffs every
year. So is it Mark Sanchez's fault that he's in an offense like that?
No, it's Mark Sanchez's fault. He sucks. I think he's responsible. He's responsible for his suckage.
Mark Sanchez's career passer rating is a 71.7.
Yeah, that's lifetime. That wouldn't make him a backup for the Redskins. Jason Campbell had an 86.9 passer rating, and everybody was giving him crap in Washington.
Jason Campbell sucks.
Yeah, well, what's his lifetime passer rating? 86 something.
Jason Campbell.
Lifetime passer rating.
82.5.
Oh, hello. Who's the better quarterback? Jason Campbell.
Well, Jason Campbell has been in the league for nine years.
Was in New York, he'd be the starting quarterback for the Jets.
He wouldn't.
Sure he would.
He wouldn't.
Absolutely he would.
He wouldn't. But I'm not saying that Mark Sanchez would be the starter either. I think Geno
Smith
should be the
starter. For those of you that agree with me or Roy, call in. Call it 240-317-7294. We got time. I'll scream at you if you think Sanchez is better.
I think Mark Sanchez is better than Jason Campbell.
I think you're on drugs. You're obviously.
How many playoff games has Jason Campbell won?
Oh, now you're going to... Sanchez was a rookie that was brought into the Jets.
And he did it again. He did it twice.
Oh, God.
All I'm saying is, how many postseason games has Jason Campbell won in his nine-year career?
Let's look at a couple of things here.
He hasn't won a single postseason game, whereas Mark Sanchez took this Jets team to the postseason and the AFC Championship game
Since you
twice.
Like this guy so much, how many wins are the Jets going to have this year, Roy?
Six or seven.
I give them four or five.
I say six.
Okay,
six
so six. So this good quarterback is going to – they have a good defense. So if he's so good,
okay,
how are
defense.
They only going to win six games?
They have an okay defense.
How are they going to only win six games if he's so good,
they need
Roy?
Because the Rex Ryan offense revolves around running backs.
Please tell me you're just pretending.
No, I'm not.
You like Mark Sanchez.
Last year I had the Jets as a 9-7 team, and they probably would have been that and a playoff team if Santonio Holmes doesn't go down.
The Redskins could have been a 5-11 team, but they won seven games in a row.
Santonio Holmes went down. He tore his ACL.
Oh, God.
And that is the only player on the Jets offense who would start for any other team.
So they did fire the general manager. They should have fired the coach because he's terrible. They fired the offensive coordinator. He's gone. Let's take a peek at something here. Team statistics. I'm going to take a peek at this from last year. Because, you know, all these guys are back except Sean Green. He's not back. Let's just take a peek here. Oh, you know what? They've already got it. They've already got this year on here. Mark Sanchez, he had a great day except for that pick six he did fine. 99.8 rating in that first playoff game. 10 for 13. 125 yards. Got a 76.9 complete. Maybe they should throw this on to his real season completion percentage. You know, bring it up to a 60 or something. Mm-hmm. 71. Bilal Powell, 9 rushes, 14 yards. That's excellent. He had an 11-yard run. Otherwise, he was 8 attempts for 3 yards.
I mean, they have no running backs. They have no wide receivers.
They
but everyone wants to point at Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith.
How
can a quarterback with no weapons do anything?
Braylon Edwards is like their best receiver, and he's like old.
Braylon Edwards doesn't even show up on their depth chart.
Stephen Hill. He's playing. Kellen Winslow, two catches, 30 yards. You know what?
Stephen Hill is their starter.
All right, it's 11:55. You think they're going to win
and
six
Jeremy
games?
Curley is
I
their
say
other
they
guy.
Win four.
Currently
all right, let's talk about the Giants. How many games are they going to win?
Seven.
They got a better quarterback. I want to check and make sure you're
no,
okay.
No, actually,
with
I'll go with
it. Is Eli a little bit better than
Eli
Mark Sanchez?
Eli is light years ahead of Mark Sanchez.
All right,
Sanchez.
Well, there you go.
But my point is that
if he's
Mark
light
Sanchez,
years ahead, how can Sanchez not suck?
My point is that it doesn't matter who your starting quarterback is, whether it be Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez,
okay.
Or if you are that stupid that you think that Greg McElroy should be the starter.
It doesn't matter.
Who your quarterback is, because you don't have any wide receivers and you don't have any running backs, and your offensive line is aging and is not very good either. So it doesn't really matter who your signal caller is, because that entire team is in trouble.
Right.
But everyone wants to point at Mark Sanchez, and everybody wants to point at Geno Smith limping off with an ankle or a toe injury, and that shouldn't even be the issue. The issue is everybody else surrounding it.
Where are they going to get some receivers? Because you know it is a throwing league. Yeah, but where are they going to get some receivers this late? Where are they going to get them from? Are they going
to
pick them up?
You just
need
to be patient. You just need to be patient if you're the New York Jets, because you need to start drafting wide receivers. You need to start drafting offensive linemen and forget about the big flashy player.
Does John Idzik need to be patient? He's the new general manager. He seems to think that he's going to have some say on who plays and who doesn't. What do you think about that?
I think that you have – I mean, to me, the entire Jets organization is an open tryout, entire team.
Okay.
But I just think it's ridiculous how everybody wants to point at Mark Sanchez or everybody wants to point at Geno
Smith.
All
right, real quick, let's do the Giants now because we're running out of time. Will Beatty's back, Kevin Booth's back, David Boss is back, Chris Snead, David Deal. David Deal's out, right? Isn't he hurt? I think Snead's hurt too. Brandon Myers, Victor Cruz is fine. Eli Manning, Hanoski, I love him. David Wilson, Andre Brown. Andre Brown evidently has a little bit of fumbleitis. He's in the doghouse for doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look Reuben Randall, Hakeem Nicks, he's tough.
Hakeem Nicks has a
groin
injury.
Bear Pasco. He's healthy. You know, remember how everybody got a knee injury last year?
Mm-hmm.
Bear Pasco was one. Justin Pugh's the rookie. From Pitt, I think. James Brewer, Cordell, back of Selfish Capers. David Carr is the backup. He's a good backup.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Terrain is the third running back. How cool is that? Ryan Nassib, he may or may not make the team. He'll probably stay. They're going to keep him, I guess. Rams is Barden. I like that kid. He can catch. You know, I see the Giants winning 9 games.
The Giants?
They're going to win 9 games, and they're going to be a wild card in the NFC.
I could see them going anywhere from 7 to 9 games.
Actually, I don't see them being a wild card. I see them winning the division 9-7. I think the Redskins are 8-8, and I think the Cowboys are 8-8.
See, I think the Redskins are a 10-win team.
I think
the Giants are somewhere between 7 and 9.
I think you're assuming that RG3 is going to play all the games.
And I think he will play.
I don't think he
will.
I think he'll get hurt.
The New York Giants, though, have a great – I mean, their 1 through 4 quarterbacks are all very, very good quarterbacks. You have Eli Manning, who is a 2-time Super Bowl winner. He was in the elite conversation and still should be in the elite conversation.
Right.
Then you have David Carr, who has been a starter in the league. You have Curtis Painter on there, who has been a starter in the league. And then you have Ryan Nassib, who is a draft pick and an understudy to Eli Manning, who is going to have the time to evolve as a true NFL quarterback behind Eli Manning. So a lot of people had Nassib very high in this draft, including you. So,
yeah, you know, I thought he might be. I thought he was going to go to Buffalo,
right? So
to his coach, that's why.
Now, to me,
well, look who they took—the Florida State kid, who actually is going to start now because the other guy's hurt.
Well, the Bills.
All right, let's look real quick. We got 30 seconds here, Roy.
But to me,
it's been a great show, by the way. Everybody out there, if you're driving anywhere, it was. Yeah, I know, man. Two hours isn't enough.
I thought this was the first hour.
So anyway, hey, Landry Jones, by the way, sucks. He's a Pittsburgh guy. Ben Roethlisberger, he's not going to have a very good year this year. The Giants didn't look bad the other night. They didn't show anything. David Carr is going to be a stud backup. We'll see you next week.
All point to Hakeem Nicks's groin.
Bruce Hall's second opinion on AM 1230. WFAS. See you next week, people.